Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Imagine meeting a man who has all the persona and authority of an Old Testament prophet. He looks the part. He sounds the part. He probably even smells the part. He's a bit rustic. We know from the other Gospels what he wears, some camel's hair for clothes, and he doesn't have any of those fancy essential oils you can get today. He lives at a place where God had worked surprising miracles in former days. Just say the name of the place, and it evokes memories. He comes up from that river from time to time, but much of the time he's down in it. And people come down to be with him and get a washing with a word. And then they come back up, claiming that their sins were forgiven and making a moral statement about where God is working and where God is lacking. The religious authorities don't know what to do with him. Some would like to shut him up. Others would like to shut him down. But they fear the politics of trying. He's the son of a priest, a faithful priest, in the midst of a corrupt hierarchy. Like Old Testament prophets, God spoke to this man, as we heard in the text. It says, the word of God came to his task was not one that we would envy. Tell everyone that we've got trouble with a capital T, and that stands for 10 commandments, and collectively we're not 10 and 0, we're 0 for 10. God's wrath with a capital W is about to be revealed for every sin, every shortcoming, even from God's people. That's right. Don't lean on your church-going status or your country's religion or your family Bible or your priestly connections, your good heart, your good intentions. Don't lean on just that one time where you helped that old lady across the street or the time you put 10 bucks in the Salvation Army bucket. Don't lean on the time you already did your taxes or actually did your taxes as if the forms really meant what they said, or the fact that you joined the church choir or the Rotary Club in the community or adopted a highway or helped your sister with her homework or did pro bono work at the law office or brought cinnamon rolls to Bible study. God isn't looking at those few and far between times that you've done a little good, and then declaring, good enough! God, through the lens of the law that he wrote down with his own finger, is looking down at man, searching for good, for trees that produce good fruit, as good trees do. He's not looking for trees that have an apple or two tied on with some string. That wind will blow that fakery off. That tree will be naked. Those branches will be bare. So God's axe will chop, and the firewood will be plenty. John the Baptist stands as the last prophet before Jesus. We have to listen to him before we come to Christmas. His message is hard to hear, as hard as it is to hear about a God who demands holiness of living and made a place of punishment for the many who will fall short. If salvation were by works, John would be the last great spokesperson of God, and we would really need no other, not even Jesus. Instead of God we trust on our coins, we could put a picture of John the Baptist and write, in the law, and in good works we trust. Our motivation would not be grace, but the acts of judgment and saving our own hide. The fires of hell would be the content of every sermon. And the little Lord Jesus could just stay asleep on the hay all year round because we really wouldn't need him. And all we need to do is sign a contract that begins, you better watch out, you better not cry, you better not pout. The Ten Commandments scream why. God's wrath and fire are coming. And God will separate the naughty from the nice, the wicked from the righteous. In all honesty, as John the Baptist prompts us to be, we could choose to be nice, but we'd have trouble getting out of the gate. And after a while, our hearts wouldn't really be in it. You know how it is. At first, you like the Christmas music and the festivities for the first, 12 days of Advent. But by the time December 25th comes along, you're ready to take down the decorations, and you're kind of looking forward to St. Paddy's Day. Which is to say, we can keep the facade of being outwardly good up for a short time, but we can't shake the discontent of not having good things happen to us 24/7. And we're reminded that we're lonely. We're poor. We dwell among people who let us down. We gossip. We hold grudges. We conspire how to do evil in return to evil done unto us. We're selfish. We're self-motivated people. God sends John before Christmas to remind us who we are in God's sight by nature. You stinking brood of vipers. But God sends John with a gift too, in preparation for the miraculous joy of meeting Jesus. He says, come into the river. Come wash your sins away. Come get an eternally clean slate. Come live as new creatures by the Spirit God gives to those who believe and so respond to God's love. You will not be perfect children of God day by day, but you will be forgiven. And that is to say that God has two messages. One is law, and you better obey it. And the other is good news. You better believe. Christ is coming. He has now come for you. Christ is the one who dies in your place to make powerful that baptism. Christ is the one who empowered that water of repentance to wipe away every sin. Christ, to show God is gracious and has loving kindness to give. Christ, who rose to show what the new creation will be like, starting with his own. If you are perplexed by God's two messages, don't be. He put a face on them to make them easy to know. As easy to know as knowing your neighbor. John the Baptist, who preaches the law in preparation for the way of Christ to come. And Jesus, who comes to fulfill the law. So we know the depth of God's love. At Christmas, the little Lord asleep in the hay will be your salvation. So repent, O brood of vipers, and believe. Believe in Jesus. Believe in your baptism. Believe in what God works as good in and through you by His Spirit. Believe in the law and the prophets like John, because they are messengers of God's word. And the simple truth that you'll sing about at Christmas, God and sinners reconciled. Until then, prepare for his coming. Or in the words of the hymn written by Paul Gerhardt, O Lord, how shall I meet you? How welcome you aright? Your people long to greet you, my hope, my heart's delight. O kindle, Lord, most holy, your lamp within my breast, to do in spirit lowly all that may please you best. Love caused your incarnation. Love brought you down to me. Your thirst for my salvation procured my liberty. O love beyond all telling that led you to embrace, in love, all love excelling, our lost and fallen race. Sin's debt, that fearful burden, cannot his love erase. Your guilt the Lord will pardon and cover by his grace. He comes for you, procuring the peace of sin forgiven, his children thus securing eternal life in heaven. He comes to judge the nations, a terror to his foes, a light of consolations and blessed hope to those who love the Lord's appearing. O glorious sun, now come. Send forth your beam so cheering and guide us safely home. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.